Good morning.
Welcome back.
I would say the same to you. And what have you been engaging?
All kinds of things. So, I've got some more stat type things left this time. Hopefully they won't take up the whole time and I'll have time after that to go into the stuff I want to go into.
Very well.
All right, so let's just get into it. So we talked about Mel's animals last time. I was curious about my animals. I did just have one thought. A lion came to me.
I would agree.
And would that be my essence animal?
Yes.
Nice. That makes sense that her and I would both have a big cat as our essence animals. And what about focus? I can't remember now who said it, but someone had the impression of beluga whale, which I don't know that I resonated with that, but I don't have any other impressions for focus animal.
And that would be incorrect anyway, for cetaceans are essences.
True. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Therefore, they would not be an animal representative of your energy.
I see.
And do you incorporate any...
A flamingo just came to mind. I don't know what that is.
Fact.
A flamingo? That's interesting because now that I think about it, I used to live in Florida and they're very common there and I always used to be really drawn to flamingos. So like a pink flamingo?
Yes, they are an interesting bird.
Huh.
Quite strong in actuality. And also, the interesting factor with flamingos is that they are a considerably fastidious bird.
I don't know that word. What does that mean?
Not all birds are, but fastidious is a quality of being somewhat organized in a manner of speaking, are particular in relation to their environment.
I would be curious to hear more about that at some point, but I will move on.
Very well.
So some other little random questions that I've been hearing other people ask, I don't want to go too far into them at this point, but I'm curious about the percent shifted question. I understand that that's it fluctuates. It is not an absolute, but.
Very well.
62%?
67.
All right. And then, the male-female percentage I'm very curious about as well.
And your impression?
I would definitely say more male, but not maybe also in the 60-some percent male.
I would agree. I would express that would be the 62.
Okay. That makes sense. And then I also think I'm in transition, even though I don't quite understand much of what that means. I would say I am in transition.
Correct.
Okay. We can talk more about that at some other point.
Oh.
So my future focus, Ari, you said Mel has a focus as my brother, Chai. Che. Is it Che? I think is how you pronounced it.
Yeah.
And I would guess that he's younger than me in that focus.
Yes.
significantly, or I get the impression something like maybe 5 or 10 years, not too much.
7 years,
okay. Great. And then also for Mel, the male-female percentage, I would guess she is also more female, but not much, maybe also in the 60 percentage.
69%
female. Great. And then Jenny's partner, Michael, she was curious about his stats. We had a couple different impressions. I had the impression that he was common, political, and ILDA.
Common thought.
That was her impression.
And yes, ILDA.
She also guessed the colors yellow or orange for family alignment or belonging, one or the other.
Yellow.
Bold. Okay. So, belonging ILDA? Aligning bold?
Yes.
Okay. And then briefly, would they be considered soulmates?
Yes.
Okay, and would you say that they have a complementary energy in terms of a partnership?
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, don't need to go more into that. And then, I don't know, why not? What about how many shared focuses they have?
One hundred eighteen.
Great. She will appreciate that. All right. And then we actually didn't get an essence name for my cousin Desiree last time. And I actually got another impression about that, which I thought was really cool. I feel like it's sort of a partial impression or a part of the name. I got A-S-H-T.
Now add an A.
At the end? Ashta?
Yes.
Nice. I thought there was something else in the end I wasn't quite getting. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm enjoying how this is getting somewhat easier and I'm getting things that I have not gotten before. So then my friend Marissa, she had the impression she has 379 total focuses. Is that correct? In this dimension?
Six seventy-nine.
Okay, and is she a final focus? I don't think she is.
Oh.
Yeah. Would she... Now I'm wondering if she's an initiating or...
Continuing.
Okay. Great. And then Prajna's son, Cedar. Honestly, just for the sake of time, I don't really want to think about impressions, so just give it to me.
Belonging, Sumari, Alignment, Zuli,
I would say emotional,
correct,
and soft.
Emotional and thought. No.
Emotional and soft. Wait. Yeah. Soft orientation.
Intermediate.
Ah, interesting. That actually, I was pretty sure it was soft. His essence name, I don't have an impression, but I'm curious because Prajna has mentioned that she got the very strong impression to name him a very long, elaborate name, and that reminds me of what you said to me about my Ahri focus. And so I'm guessing that one of those names or something, his name is Cedar Way of Vajra Sparrow. Is one of those his essence name?
No, actually, these are all focus names that have been shared.
With Prajna? Ah. All four separate individuals?
Yes.
Interesting. And so what would his essence name be?
Tezu. T-A. IZU.
Was her impression, well, so what was that about then that she felt the strong need to name him all of those names? Was that actually a desire of his as this focus or his essence, or was that more just her allowing that bleed through or
I would
something
express
else?
it as more her preference.
Ah, interesting.
To those other shared focuses in which there are considerably strong relationships.
I see. Okay. Great. And then another quick one. I assume that all Shannon, Adam, and Marsha are all three of them soulmates to each other.
Yes.
And I assume they've had many lives in some various combination of them three. I have written here 571, but I don't remember what that was an impression of their shared focuses or ours. Is 571 relevant?
Theirs.
That's the number that all three of them share together. Okay. All right. My dad and I share 327 focuses.
Correct. Congratulations.
Thank you. Serena and I share 487.
Correct.
And Marissa and I, 127. That one I feel less sure about. I wrote that down. She actually told me that I had said that.
First, last two numbers.
172. All right. And then just having talked to Mary just now, how many focuses do we share? I imagine quite a lot. No.
I would express Michael does not incorporate many focuses in this physical dimension, but of those, there are 41.
Okay, not that many, but
But of that, Michael incorporates only 52.
52 focuses in this dimension?
Correct.
Wow, that's very small, relatively.
Correct.
Okay, I'd be interested to hear more about that at another time. Okay. So this is more getting into some. Well, is that all of them? Yeah. Okay. So I want to get more into some other impressions, dreams, projection experiences I've had. So recently, I was at the coast with Melanie, and we have a very strong connection to the Oregon coast here where we live, and we went there a weekend or two ago, and we were sitting there just watching the beach, and I had this sort of I don't know what to describe it as, a very large impression maybe of us being a couple in sort of earlier Oregon Coast history. And I got the names William or Wilbur and Mary. And I had the impression that I died there on the coast.
Correct.
And was that actually in Yahats itself, where we were?
Yes.
So that little, I guess it's a bay, that little bay where we were, I felt it very strongly there. Is there that actual location itself in Yahats, is that somehow, I don't know where I died, but what's the connection to that little bay, I guess?
I would express that it was connected, not the actual location of the death, but in that location, that focus interpreted an experience of almost drowning, and in that developed pneumonia and died of that.
Wow. So is the name William or Wilbur? Which name is that?
William.
William. And so was I was William, I suppose, and I was married to Mel, and her name was Mary. And so another, this reminds me, and that other experience reminded me, there was a time we went to that exact same park, and she was, there's a lookout, a deck, sort of wooden lookout over the ocean right there by where we were, and we were there once, and she had a very strong emotional response to being there. Was that connected to that experience of me dying, that connection to that life there?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. And what was the time frame? I'm thinking like 1800s. That seems too early.
Late 1800s.
Okay. Wow. Every one of these, I feel like I could have a whole hour talking about, but we'll move on from that. So I had another experience. I don't know if this would be a projection or what. I think I was sort of meditating. I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but I had this image of being in the clouds. It was very beautiful, like a sunset almost, and I was flying through the clouds, and I had the impression that somehow Ari and Che were connected. And as I thought about it more, I don't know how much I was just adding to it, but I got the impression that we were sort of flying through the clouds in some kind of, plane type structure. And that made me also think that maybe Che was a pilot in that time frame, like he was sort of piloting me around.
Correct.
So is that his profession, is a pilot?
Correct.
And so that experience that I had, was that just, was I tapping into an actual, literal experience that Ari and Che were having in that moment, or was I just sort of getting an impression of that reality through that imagery?
An actual projection.
So that was an actual projection of me experiencing what they were experiencing.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. Man, this is juicy. I'm loving this. All right, so that I had a dream another time that felt extremely vivid in a way that, did not just seem like sort of, for lack of a better word, random dream imagery, of me and Mel being in a burning building, and she was trapped on a couch or something, and the building around us, it was sort of a warehouse almost. I think, now I'm trying to remember what happened. She basically was sort of resigning herself to dying, and I was I was unwilling to let that happen, and very aggressively so, trying to rescue her, and I believe that I did, but it was an interesting dynamic where she had sort of just resigned herself to die, and I basically was like, no, that's not happening. I'm going to pull you out of this. Was that a tapping into another focus of ours?
Yes.
I don't have any other impressions as far as time frame. It seemed like relatively, it didn't seem strongly connected to a past or a future time frame. So was that, is that sort of another, I don't know, almost current time frame or focus?
Not current, but relatively speaking, recent, within the
1950s. Oh, okay. Oh, goodness. All right. So you confirmed that I had a seer aspect on our first session. What's the name of that? I think seer aspects, they have names, correct?
In what capacity?
I don't know, actually. I haven't read much about it, so I don't know what to ask even, but I guess, would a seer aspect or a dreamwalker aspect, would that be comparable to, say, a focus, in that it would have a name and sort of a individual identity, or...
Not a focus.
But a sort of an essence?
Yes, an essence.
Okay.
Not a focus.
Right.
Dreamwalkers were not actually physically focused.
Okay.
But
so,
yes, that would interpret tone. One moment.
All right.
That would be essence Usta. U-S-T-A-H.
All right. That's another thing I would love to get more information about at some point, but we'll save that. And then who am I fragmented from? That's another question I've heard other people ask that I'm curious about.
One moment. Fragmented from essence Benjamin.
Benjamin? Is Mel fragmented from the same essence?
No.
What is hers?
Essence Levi.
Belevi?
Yes.
Hmm. All right. And then Serena, going back to Serena. So I assume she also would be considered a soulmate.
Yes.
So aside from that, one question I have in the house, I feel like she looks at me and we have interactions that are different than anyone else that I see. And so I'm wondering, is she just very aware of our connection? And so she's very drawn to me and open to me. But I also wonder, it almost seems like she sees things when she looks at me that I don't know. I don't know if she's actually literally seeing something different than we would see, or if it's more just her awareness of that connection.
I would express more the latter, in that awareness of genuine you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, individuals can express that awareness and not necessarily objectively assign specifics to it.
Mm-hmm.
They merely are aware of the genuine energy and expression of another individual or of many.
Right.
But in that, they are specific only to, they are aware of genuine expressions and not genuine expressions. But beyond that, generally speaking, they do not attach specific qualities or specific ideas as to what that is.
Right. Okay.
But I would express that when you encounter individuals such as this, and you are aware that they are aware,
mm-hmm.
feels as if the other individual, in your terms, sees into your soul.
Yeah.
And therefore, what occurs is the automatic reaction with most individuals is somewhat uncomfortable at times, only for the reason that you generate an automatic attachment that they actually know ideas about you or know your experiences, when in actuality it is not that specific. They
right.
are aware of your genuineness, and they are aware when you are not being genuine.
Right.
But they are not actually treating, and they are not aware of your experiences.
Okay. This other question just popped in my head. How many focuses do you and Melanie share? Did you ask for my impression?
Yes.
567?
Reverse the last two numbers.
576. I didn't ask you this before, but I assume you and I would also be considered soulmates, and this also leads me to ask, I assume that would mean you and Melanie are also soulmates.
Correct.
Okay. All right. One other question before, I'm trying to think how to phrase this, because this could be a much larger conversation also that I'm very curious about, but Marcia shared with me an experience that her and Adam had that when he was young, of basically being what they considered haunted by this entity, this being, for I think it was a number of months. She described all kinds of, you know, it basically sounded like the typical haunting from a movie. You know, things flying around, just all kinds of things like that that really scared them. And eventually they worked with some psychic woman, quote unquote, who helped sort of release that being. And so my main question, I guess, is, was that an actual interaction with another essence that, well, I guess that's my first question. Was that an actual interaction with another essence, or was that a situation where their fear was creating these manifestations?
Was it an interaction with another essence? No. Was it sparked by an interaction with an energy deposit? Yes.
Okay.
The feel of the energy deposit and the strength of that, was that enough to generate and thusly create their own manifestations from that? Yes. In this, did the energy deposit create the situation? No. But the recognition of the energy deposit was enough to create a fear that was strong enough to generate actual physical manifestations.
Okay. So one final question then. So an energy deposit, was that an energy deposit of a individual focus? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so that focus, there was, what is the connection with the dolphins that was related to the sort of resolution of that situation? Was that energy deposit, that individual, somehow connected with dolphins? What was that about, if you could answer that briefly?
No, that would be in relation to the individuals that were participating.
Okay. All right. I might ask more about that at some point, but that's good info. All right. Let's get into the meat of this now. So this is somewhat related to what we ended our last session on, the whole healing hepatitis and all of that. I'm very interested in energy centers, and I've read the digests online on the website. I've read other sessions you've had with people. It seems like most people have not asked about that in a very long time. Let's see. One question, I've been practicing a sort of, I haven't done it for a while, but for a little while I was consistently practicing a sort of visualization where I was visualizing each center, balancing it, or, you know, directing it to rotate or project its energy in the correct direction, the correct speed, etc. Was that actually doing anything? Was that actually balancing them?
Yeah.
So when I do that, it has an actual effect consistently?
Yes.
So it would be beneficial for me to practice that, maybe say daily.
I would express that unless you notice one or more energy centers that may be out of alignment at a particular time framework, it is not necessary for you to do this.
Okay.
But I would express that it would be beneficial and helpful perhaps to engage it weekly.
I see. So you said in one of the sessions that they rotate at 12 revolutions, that as you go up per center, having trouble talking. So the red energy center, for example, revolves at 12. So then therefore the orange would be 24 and on and on. Is that correct?
Correct.
And how does pink fit into that? Is pink in that same
pink
category?
Pink would be in between.
Right.
Both.
Right, I'm aware of that. So is that also 12?
Yes.
The difference? Okay. Because I was sort of skipping pink because I wasn't sure about that. So when I was doing the exercise, I guess once I got past green, I was, I guess, 12 off, so to speak. So how precise is that? I mean, if I'm visualizing, you know, the visualization I was practicing, if I say visualize or instruct, you know, red energy center, you know, 8 or 10 or 12, is it that precise? You know, could I say, I want you to rotate at 8 for right now? Does that works? Okay. And I generally noticed feeling balanced and feeling, you know, good, but I didn't particularly notice any strong sensations or
You would not necessarily experience any notable sensations.
Mm-hmm.
This, what you would experience would be more in the manner of feeling energetic, feeling centered.
Mm-hmm.
In that, what you term to be optimally feeling good.
Okay. So related to that then, bringing that back to the specific issue of the hepatitis, so I assume it would be the case that then my yellow energy center is somehow is affected or creating the manifestation of the hepatitis in my liver. Is that correct?
Yes.
So,
aside... That is part of a generalization.
Right.
Very well.
So, I guess my question is, so as I transition away from, or somewhat transition away from addressing to that using the pills and the herbs and all of that, which I feel like is the direction I'm heading, and trying to address to the inner issues we talked about last time. And I know that relating that to the energy centers, you've talked about how trying to objectively just, you know, manipulate them is not necessarily as effective as, or even necessary, if you're addressing subjectively to whatever the issues are, they will naturally realign or be in balance or do whatever they need to do without me having to objectively instruct them. So I guess that leads me to the question of, is it useful for me at this point to sort of not just do the general balancing exercise I was doing, but to somehow specifically address to the yellow center in relation to trying to eliminate that manifestation? Do you understand my question?
I would express that it can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It would not necessarily entirely alter it, but it would be helpful. But if that energy center is agitated and is moving out of alignment, that exacerbates the situation.
Right.
Therefore, if you are action to be employing any action to help you to alter the situation or the manifestation and not encourage it, yes, that would be an action that would be helpful. It would not necessarily entirely change the manifestation.
So I guess in a way this is my own, I don't know, skepticism or trying to understand this. But I mean, in the last time we talked about it, I feel this. Intuitively, I feel this. I just, maybe rationally, I have a hard time understanding it. So if this is basically a manifestation of me isolating and is related to these inner issues I have with, you know, not expressing myself, not acquiescing, not being frustrated, you know, all those things, is it really as simple as if I address to those things and actually shift those expressions that that will actually alter or eliminate the hepatitis without me having to focus specifically on that? It will just sort of naturally happen as a byproduct, or is it just...
Yes.
It really is that simple.
It is that simple, so, and let me express to you, my friend, mm-hmm. It is that simple and that difficult.
Right, exactly.
I would express to you that in the idea or in the identification of what to do, yes, it is that simple. In the application of it, yes, it is also that difficult.
Right. And so, I mean, did any of the physical actions I've been taking have any effect at all? So, I mean, I've spent all this money and time taking all these pills and herbs, and
Yes.
Okay. So then, would it be helpful to continue some form of that while I also address to the inner stuff, or, I mean...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would agree. For it is a matter of moving in the expression of not opposing yourself. And
right.
Therefore, moving in relation to your existing beliefs and associations.
Right.
And in that, moving in that direction, therefore not opposing yourself and attempting to move in some unfamiliar direction that you do not necessarily entirely trust yet.
Right.
And therefore employing what you do trust, using
right.
that as a tool.
Right.
And moving further by recognizing that these methods are actions that you are engaging that are helpful, they may not ultimately alter the situation or the manifestation by themselves, but they will be helpful. Just as with the energy center, adjusting or aligning the yellow energy center will be helpful.
Right.
And it will move in a direction of not exacerbating the situation and the manifestation. The other actions that you are engaging are the same. They will also be helpful, for they allow you to move in a flow. And they are an acknowledgement of what you do trust.
Right. Yeah, that when I was doing that, I basically recognized in myself that I'm using this as a focal point. And I think at this point, maybe partially out of frustration, but also I think I just want to be beyond, I guess I somehow want to be beyond it. I want to be able to move past relying on them.
Now, that is a trap. That is a pitfall.
That is opposing?
That is a pitfall, and it is a trap, for that moves you back in the direction of concentrating upon it. When you are moving in directions of focusing upon what you do not want, or what is not moving fast enough,
I see.
You are moving your attention back to the manifestation and giving it power again.
Okay. So I just remembered a couple other random questions I wanted to ask you about that are somewhat related, but I'll stay with this for this moment. What about another thing I've been trying a lot is projecting. I have a very, very strong desire to project, and I'm very aware that I have come very close to, or my idea is I've come very close to having, you know, full intentional projections, and I'm still stopping myself. But one question related to that, related to this topic, is you've also talked about being very careful in a projection to not, or just to be very careful relating to the energy centers, because in that state you can actually do far more damage potentially. And so I guess I have a general question about what about this concept of, you know, leaving my body and sort of healing it. Healing it from outside. I've wondered about that at times in life.
If you can. Now, also understand that pastly, mm-hmm. when I have offered cautions, generally speaking, they are being expressed in relation to specific situations.
Okay.
Not as a very general statement.
Okay.
Is in relation to projections, pastly, I have been presented with questions in relation to different expressions of projections, and dependent upon the individual and what they are doing and what they are actually asking, mm-hmm. I may be offering a caution, being aware of what that individual could potentially engage.
I see.
Relation to acting in general, I would express that there is very little that would necessitate a caution in a natural expression of projecting. For you automatically will avoid avenues that would necessitate a caution.
Right.
Will naturally move in directions that would avoid that necessity, such as one caution with projecting would be to not be engaging it for an extended length of time. But for most individuals, it is not necessary to even express that. For you automatically,
right.
would not.
So one question related to that that I just remembered. So I had an experience a couple months ago where I felt like I was laying on the couch, and that day I actually felt sort of sick. I felt kind of feverish, and my throat was kind of sore, which is somewhat unusual. I don't typically get sick. And I came home after work, I think, and laid on the couch, and I felt like I had some kind of dream slash projection something, and I had the impression that I was actually or someone, maybe it wasn't me, but somehow I had the impression that there were hands on my throat in a healing fashion, and I felt sort of a very intense, burning, hot, you know, heat sensation. And I came out of that at some point. I woke up or whatever, and then it was gone. I felt, you know, almost to say healed.
Yes.
And so was that me? Did I do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I do this in that type of state, in a manner of speaking. You can project
mm-hmm.
away from your physical body content, and you can engage the action that you might engage with another individual in a healing fashion can do it yourself. Now, this is not an action that most individuals would engage, but but the reason being that most individuals do incorporate some difficulty with projecting in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in the action of projecting, for you all do that.
Right,
but
intentionally.
Intentionally and objectively being aware of doing
right.
it.
Okay, so also, I'll sort of come back to that, but I also, two nights ago, I believe, I had, again, another dream slash projection. I don't quite know what it was, but so I was in the kitchen with Christine, my roommate, and it was dark, and it basically felt like what it would be like literally at that time if I was up there. And she said, kind of out loud, I don't think it was to me, but she said, somebody's sitting in the living room, and she was sort of scared or, you know, uncomfortable with that. And immediately after she said that, I was aware of myself in bed in my and very, very close, the sensation that I'm pretty familiar with now of being very close to leaving my body, I guess. And I hovered in that space for quite a while. It was very intense, probably the most intense I've had that I objectively remember. So what was that about?
I would express that.
Or is my impression correct that that's what was happening?
Yes, it is okay. Correct. And I would express that that was the somebody.
So the somebody was me?
Yes.
So, okay, but I asked her about that. In a situation like that, is that, am I actually interacting with her in a projection that she's just not aware of remembering? Or is that...
You can be,
or
you can be, and the individual can be somewhat aware of it and notice that energy and not necessarily define what it is.
Okay, so if that was... If I was the other person in the living room, then in some sense I already had projected. So why? So, okay, maybe it was the situation of I had projected to the living room, and then when I became aware of it, I don't know how to say it. I went back in my body, and that's when I was having this sort of intense experience where I felt like I was almost out of my body. Does that?
What you were experiencing was the reverse of what you think. What you think or what you thought as you were noticing this, as you expressed, intense experience that you identified or you thought of as almost projecting. What was actually occurring was you were aware of returning.
Oh. Okay.
Therefore, you were objectively aware of the reverse of what you were thinking.
I see. Okay. So another question about this whole projecting experience. So I mentioned, well, we... Mel and I read Oversoul 7 again recently, which I have a whole bunch of other questions related to that for another time. But, you know, people have described the actual experience of projecting, and it's an experience that I can relate to where, you know, if I'm intending to do that, at some point I start to hear a sensation of, you know, people describe it as wind or rustling leaves or, you know, some kind of loud expression like that. And at some point it intensifies and then there's often sort of a pop. And that's sort of the moment when you objectively are become aware that you have left your body. And I think that's the moment. One, I'm curious if that is an accurate description of what happens. I assume maybe that's not an absolute, but that's what some people experience. commonly. And two, I feel like that's the moment I'm afraid of, is finally pushing over that edge, having some pop or whatever, and then opening my eyes and all of a sudden I'm completely somewhere else. I feel very excited about that, but I think that's ultimately what I'm afraid of experiencing. Is that an accurate description of that experience?
I would express that it is an accurate description of what you are afraid of. I would express that it is an accurate description of some individuals' experiences,
mm-hmm.
but that it is also related to many individuals attach certain expressions or almost a ritualizing
right.
of the experience to solidify it to themselves.
So it's possible then to basically just intend to project, have a destination. You know, for example, the snap method is something that you've suggested and I've played with a little bit. It is not necessary that I will have that exact experience of having
precisely.
This loud sound and a pop and all that. I may just spontaneously.
Correct.
I guess that's something I'm curious about, and I do think this is what I'm afraid of, is if I'm laying in my bed, you know, intending to project, and I'm successful, at some point, if I open my eyes, I will literally be somewhere else. Is that correct?
Yes, but it would not be frightening, for you would be aware that you already incorporated that intention.
Yeah,
I would express to you that it is likely that the most you would express would be a slight surprise.
So why am I so afraid?
I would express that is very common.
Yeah.
That it is a frightening action for most individuals. You are so attached to your bodies,
mm-hmm.
and you generate such a strong aspect of identity
yeah.
with your body that separating yourself from your body consciousness is threatening.
Scary. So would you, as far as a method, just because I do like methods, as most of us do, would you suggest the snap method, or would you give me some other method, or is that a pretty good one for me to practice more with?
Express that you could practice that, or if you want to interpret a method that is easier or, in a manner of speaking, smoother in the transition, you could engage the method of walking down the stairs.
Walking down the stairs.
What you do in that method is you place yourself in a relaxed state. Generally, it is advisable to not be entirely lying down.
Okay.
By lying down, your body consciousness will interpret what you are doing and attempt to sleep.
Right.
But in a very comfortable position, and you can be prone, but in a slightly raised prone position.
Okay.
That allow yourself to breathe and relax your body consciousness, and then you generate a visualization. The visualization is, visualize yourself at the top of a staircase. Matters not what the design of the staircase is. Choose a design that is pleasing to you. You stand at the top of the staircase and you begin slowly to descend the steps. As you descend each step, you are instructing yourself to become more and more and more relaxed. Not sleep, but relaxed. In that, you continue to move further and further into this relaxed state until you reach the bottom of the staircase. At the bottom of the staircase is a door. When you are entirely relaxed, you move towards the door, open the door, and as you step through the door, there you are projecting.
That sounds very similar to the visualization I was using with the energy centers, as I visualized myself going down some stairs into sort of a cave type experience where I would manipulate the energy centers. I like that.
That is an easier progression into a projection in which that transition is somewhat smoother. Before you engage the visualization, set an intention.
Right.
Where you want to project to.
Okay.
And do not think about that while you are descending the stairs. And it is not necessary to think about it when you reach the bottom of the stairs and you approach the door, for you have already set the intention. Therefore, it is merely a matter of opening the door and you move directly into the projection. And as you have already set the intention, you will automatically move to that location.
Okay, so one final question then about that. So what, maybe this is me just trying to anticipate and control it, but I am curious, how will I know, I mean, if I set the intention and that works, and say I step to the door and then I am in my location, will I automatically see things and feel things and have the sensations of that, or?
Yeah.
So will my eyes immediately open as soon as I step to the door? Will I start seeing things, or is it? I guess it's dependent on what I do.
Are projecting, therefore, do not concern yourself with what your body is doing.
Okay.
It matters not what your body is doing, for you are projecting away from it.
Well, I don't totally understand is what will the physical, not what is my body experiencing, but what will my...
You will engage the perception that you have a body.
Right.
You see yourself the same as you do when you are engaged with your actual physical body.
Right. So I guess I just wonder about the transition of, you know, is there a moment when I will start seeing things and feeling my skin and feeling air or smelling things? Will all that just sort of progress naturally as I enter it?
Step through the door.
Yeah. I love you. All right. That was all wonderful. I have a lot to practice here. I'm excited to talk more with you about it next time.
Very well.
Also, if you feel inspired or have, if you want to join me in any of these projections or offer any energy of supporting this, whatever you can offer to help me in this process, I would love. So.
Very well, and so I shall.
All right. We're done with time here. So our next session, I want to talk more about Melanie and I. There's a lot happening there that I want to discuss with you. So I look
forward
to that.
Very well.
Thank you so much. I think this was fantastic.
Oh, very welcome, my friend. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting and our further discussion.
All right.
Been tremendous encouragement and supportiveness, my dear friend, and a great affection. Au revoir.
Bye for now.